Welcome to the Day Trading for Beginners podcast. This is episode 17, and in this episode, we are talking about options again. So in previous episodes, we talked about options. We sort of did an introduction to options. I would sort of say that this is sort of like part two of that introduction. And here we're going to talk about actually selling options. So in that prior episode, we did an intro into, you know, what an option actually is. And then we just talked about buying option. So buying a call option and buying a put option. And here we're going to talk about selling a call option and selling a put option. So my name is Tyler Stokes. I'm on a journey to become a full-time day trader. And I'm at this stage now where I am studying options. I've done a review of, you know, stock market basics. I've registered with a brokerage account. I've set that up and I've gone through, you know, learning how to put orders through for buying and selling stocks. But now I need to do that for options, but there is a lot to learn with options. So again, this is sort of like an introduction. I'm going to repeat myself a lot and we're going to cover sort of what we covered in that first episode. But what I've noticed that, you know, in learning options over, you know, those just the last few weeks, I personally need to review this stuff many times. So I do have a background sort of in finance, but options are a little bit different. And when you look at the different viewpoints that you can take, so you can buy and you can sell, and then there is a call and a put, it can get confusing. You can sort of get tripped up when you're thinking about these things. And I found that, you know, going over introduction videos, many different sources of videos on YouTube or some educational websites, and just sort of watching the same presentations over and over have helped me sort of gain a bit of a better understanding to the point where I can kind of explain it now on a podcast. So if you're a beginner and you're learning about options, don't get discouraged. This stuff, you know, eventually it's going to click and seem straightforward. And I feel like I'm getting there, but it can be confusing. And you can certainly trip up quite a few times when we're sort of looking at all this stuff. Now, I do plan to sort of share all the resources that I have been using. So if you have not downloaded my 6-month blueprint, you can find a link to that below in the show notes, or you can go to stokestrades.com/blueprint. That sort of outlines exactly what I'm doing in the first 6 months of this journey. And eventually I'm going to share, you know, all the resources that I've used to learn options. So at the moment, I've just used an educational website and some YouTube channels. And what I've found is that there's no point in buying any option courses at this moment. So I've personally purchased something off Udemy. It was just, I think it was $19 or $17. It wasn't worth it. You don't need to learn any strategy at this point, or at least I'm not interested in any strategy. I'm just interested in understanding some fundamentals. So some terms, you know, what these instruments are, and how they work. And you can do all of that for free. There's lots of YouTube videos and there's other websites that just offer education about options. And you just need to find a few that you can sort of listen to, you can understand, and you find useful. And now, one other thing to keep in mind, and then we'll jump right in, is that different presenters will have a bit of a bias into how they use options. So just keep that in mind. Some presenters might say, you know, never do this, while others will say that, you know, that's a strategy that they use to make money. So remember, there's many, many ways to make money in the markets. And sometimes people contradict each other or just recommend one option over the other. So, you know, when you're talking strategy, you know, some people might tell you not to do one thing, whereas another person might tell you to do that thing. So again, we're going to try to just talk about, you know, fundamentals and concepts rather than strategy. So, you know, that was a long intro. Let's get right into it. So we're talking selling options. So again, in that first discussion, we talked about what options are and all about buying, but you can also sell options. And if you're doing day trading, you will certainly potentially sell options if this is something that you decide to actually trade. So there's this difference between having the right and then having the obligation. So this is an important thing to understand, and it sort of helped me understand this concept as well. So when you buy an option that we talked about before, what that does is that gives you the right, but not the obligation to buy or sell the underlying asset. So to buy or sell the stock. So that's when you buy an option contract. You're given the right to buy or sell a stock at a fixed price within a time frame. So that's what an options contract is when you buy it. However, when you are the person who sells the option, so it's also referred to as writing or shorting. So when you write or short an option, now you have the obligation to buy or sell the stock if you are assigned up to and including the expiration date. And we'll talk about what this word assigned means. But basically, when you write, so when you sell something, you do have the obligation to either buy or sell the shares that are within that contract if the contract gets exercised. So that's the difference between buying and selling options. When you buy an option, you have the right to buy or sell the underlying stock in the contract, and you do not have to. You don't have to exercise your contracts. But if you sell, you are obligated if the person on the other end, the buyer, does exercise the contract. So that's the big sort of difference. And remember, a common question is that, do you need to own any shares of a stock when you buy or sell options? And you don't. You don't need to own any shares of a particular stock if you are buying or selling options and using that stock as the, quote, underlying underlying asset. Now, with option traders, so day traders and the like, you typically don't want to own the stock. They just, want to trade the option contract. And that's another thing to understand. We're going to talk about, exercising the option. And, as you learn this stuff, you need to understand all the terminology and what can happen. But in many times, these options don't get exercised. They just get traded. So if you buy an option, you can sell it at any time. And if you sell an option, you can buy it back and effectively close out the position at any time. We're going to talk more about closing out the position a little later on, but that's just something to keep in mind. Traders want to trade these options. They don't necessarily want to own the stock that the contract is, derived from. So again, a quick sort of review of call options and put options in terms of buying them. So call options, remember you're calling the stock. So you are the buyer and you have the right to buy the stock at the predetermined price. So that's the strike price within the set time frame. So remember there's expiration dates to these option contracts. So that's a call option. You have the right to buy. And then if you buy a put option, this gives you the right to sell a stock at the strike price within the time frame. And again, the cost of this option or these options, it's called the premium. So you need to buy the right to do these things. And that's the premium. And then typically one option contract represents 100 shares. So there's this option multiplier and it's usually 100 shares. So one contract represents 100 shares. So that's sort of the review from that previous discussion. So assignment, I mentioned that word assignment. What does assignment mean? Well, assignment happens to sellers. So if you sell call options or you sell put options, this word assignment might happen to you. So if you're a seller and you're assigned on a call that you have sold, that means you're obligated to deliver or sell the underlying stock. So if you as the call writer are assigned, now on the put side, if you're assigned on a put that you've sold, you are obligated to buy the underlying. So this is where I said, it can easily kind of get tripped up with what's going on. So I'll just sort of try and talk through it here because it helped me as well. If you buy a call option, that gives you the right to buy the stock at the strike price. So if you now flip and say you're the one selling that call option, well, if the buyer does want to exercise the contract, then that means that the seller is assigned, and it means that you are obligated to now deliver or sell these shares to the contract buyer. And then on the flip side, with a put, so if you buy a put option, that gives you the right to sell the stock at a predetermined price. So if you're now the person that sold that put option, you're obligated to buy the stock if that contract is exercised. Now, if you can kind of say exactly what I said, then you have a better understanding of how these options work. So let's dive a little bit deeper into this selling call options. Now, there's these terms called covered and naked, and we're going to discuss what that is. So a covered call, this is when you sell a call option on a stock that you actually own. So you are quote unquote covered because you own the 100 shares. So, you know, as we just discussed, if you are assigned and you need to deliver the 100 shares to the option buyer, you can do so. So that's covered a call. So you can sell a call option and you receive the premium, you receive money, and then you don't really need to worry because if that option buyer exercises the contract, you know, it doesn't really go your way, it's beneficial for them, they want to buy the 100 shares, you already own them and you can just sell them to them. You can deliver them. You don't need to go to the market and purchase them at a high price and then sell them at a low price. You don't need to incur a loss there. So that's what it means to be covered. That's a covered call. So when you sell a call option and you own the 100 shares, you are covered. Now, a naked call involves selling a call option without owning the underlying asset or the stock that we're talking in this these examples. So this obviously is more risky because, you know, if the option is exercised when the stock is much higher than the strike price, then you're forced to buy the stock and deliver or sell it to the option buyer at the lower strike price. Now, you know, I should have mentioned this sort of earlier in the podcast here. I am going to do a YouTube video version of selling options, and I'm going to be doing some examples on a whiteboard that sort of makes can help with learning just when you see a visual. But if we just looked at that and we went over that example again, you know, if you are buying a call option, you get to buy the stock at the strike price. So if that strike price is, say, $100 and the stock is trading at $150, well, you would want to exercise that option because you get to buy it at $100 and it's really $150. So you would buy at $100, sell at $150, and you instantly gain that $50 of profit. Now, if you were the call writer, so you sold that call and you don't own those shares, what that means is you need to buy at $150 and then sell to this person at $100 and you lose that $50 per share. So that's the risks that is involved with what's called a naked call. So you might be wondering, you know, why would you sell a call option? Well, you know, when you sell these options, you get this premium right away. So when you sell a call or even when you sell a put, you get the premium. People need to spend, need to buy these options. So firstly, you know, selling options is a way to generate some income. But remember, you know, this income comes with the obligation to sell 100 shares of the stock at the strike price if we're talking call options. Now, as a call seller, you want the stock to remain the same or go down. And this way, the option is going to expire worthless. It won't be exercised. And you simply keep the premium you received when you sold the option. So that's really the best scenario for you. You sold an option and you gain that premium and the stock goes down. Therefore, the call buyer would never exercise the option because if the stock went down to 90 and they have the right to buy at 100, they would never do that. Why would you buy a stock at 100 when it's currently on the market for 90. So that is, you know, the best scenario for someone who sells a call option. The stock remains the same or goes down and you simply keep the premium and you earn that money. Now, when you sell a call option, you have limited reward because you just have the ability to earn that premium, but you do have, you know, more risk. So this is why we mentioned that you know, it's recommended, or some people recommend, that you don't want to sell a call naked. You want to be covered. You want to already own the 100 shares. And if you don't own the shares, again, you're naked and you're exposed to much more risk. So if you are sort of more bearish on a stock, you can make money selling these call options if you think the stock is going to sort of stagnate or go down. Now, again, keep in mind what I mentioned earlier. You know, some traders are going to have strategies and they can be successful with selling naked calls. Whereas if you learn from someone who's presenting this material and they might say never, you know, sell naked calls, maybe their strategy doesn't really work for them. So just keep in mind that obviously you can do either one does have some risk, but there might be strategies where naked calls can be beneficial. But here we just sort of want to understand again exactly what they are. So that's selling calls. Let's talk quickly now about selling put options. And the term here that is important to think about is this thing called a cash secured put. And we'll talk about that. So when you sell a put, remember, you are obligated to buy the shares at the strike price. So we'll just stop and again, put your shoes in the person who's buying a put option. If you buy a put option, that gives you the right to sell a stock at the strike price. So if you think the stock's going to go down and the stock, you buy a put option with a strike price at 100 and you think it's going to go down to 80 within the next month, then that is what you would do. And then if the stock goes down to 80, you have the right to sell the stock at 100. So you would buy at 80, sell at 100, and you gain $20 worth of profit. So if you now turn over and act as the seller, remember, you are obligated to buy the shares at that strike price of 100. So if the stock price goes up or remains the same, the option will expire worthless. Someone will not exercise that because why would they take the right to sell at the a higher price when the stock is currently at 100? So you would no longer be obligated to buy the shares and you would keep the premium. So again, I'm even stumbling on my words a little bit there. If you are buying a put option, you have the right to sell the shares. So if the price goes up to 120, you certainly wouldn't buy at 120 and sell at 100. So again, you know, I'm even stumbling a little bit you know, getting tripped up here. So it's very easy to do. So again, if the stock price goes up or remains the same, if you sold a put option, it's going to expire. That person is not going to exercise that option and be able to sell it at 100 when it's being sold at the market for, you know, 120. Now, if the price falls below the strike price and you sold the put option, you are essentially, you know, in a losing position. You're obligated to buy the shares at the strike price. So the stock has fallen to 80. You're obligated to buy at 100, even though the market it's 80. That's what the contract says in that particular example. And that is where you can lose money if you are selling puts. So, you know, why would you want to sell a put option? Anyways, just a little bit. Again, we're not going to talk too much strategy, but it can be risky to sell a put when you don't have the intention of buying a stock. So this is that thing I mentioned, a cash secured put. So if you sell a put, but you have enough cash on hand to buy the stock, if you are obligated to, and if you are assigned, then that is somewhat of a better strategy. And if you actually intend to own the stock, it's a great strategy as well. So if an option it's exercised and you as the seller are obligated to buy the shares. So if you buy the shares at the strike price and you don't want to hold them, you know, you're going to be selling them at the market price, which is lower than the strike price. So you're going to take a loss. So it's less risky to sell a put option on a stock. You would be happy to purchase at the strike price. So you gain the premium. And if you are assigned to buy the shares, if the option is exercised, then you will be fine with buying the stock. So I'll just talk about a real life example now. I'm not going to do this, but I've been thinking about it. You know, I'm currently looking to buy more Tesla stock as the stock is falling. I think today it's around 170. And, you know, some technical analysts are forecasting it to go down to maybe 140. So I would like to buy some at 160 to the 140 range. So what I could do is sell a put option with maybe a strike price of 160. And if the stock goes down to, you know, 159, then that person might want to exercise the option, and I would gain the premium of selling the option, and then I'm forced to buy Tesla at 159, which I am actually happy doing. So, you know, that would be a cash secured put, and I would be interested in buying this stock, which I feel will rebound and come back up later in the year. So that's a way for me to sell, gain money from the sale, gain that premium. And then if I'm forced to buy the shares at the strike price of 160, I'm okay with it because I'm looking to do that anyway. So that's sort of an example of a cash covered put. Now, on the flip side, you know, that idea of a naked call that we talked about, if you don't have the cash on hand and you don't have the intention to buy those shares, if the option is exercised, you might need to actually close out your position. So if the stock has fallen, you know, below the strike price, this is going to lead to a loss. So what we're going to talk about now is actually closing out your position. And this is, you know, more on the lines of day trading. So again, many traders, they don't look to own the stock and they don't want to exercise the option. You want to close out your position, and you can do this as a buyer or as a seller. So let's look at it through the seller's lens first. So again, when you sell an option, remember, you know, you are essentially taking on an obligation. The buyer of a call option or the buyer of a put option, they have the right to buy or sell the stock at the strike price. As the seller, you have obligations if you are assigned. Now, in the case of selling a put option, you are agreeing, again, to buy the stock at the strike price if the option is exercised. And again, this is known as, you know, being short the put or writing the put option. And then the same thing applies to call options. When you sell a call option, you are agreeing to sell the underlying shares at the strike price if the option is exercised. And again, this is short the call, or you're writing a call option. However, you can close this short position by buying back the same type of option that you initially sold. And this is called buy to close, a buy to close order. So when you buy back the option, you are effectively canceling your obligation to buy or sell the underlying stock. Now, the obligation is then transferred to the new holder of the short put position, which is the person from whom you bought back the option. So in other words, by buying back the option, you are no longer responsible for fulfilling the terms of the contract if the original buyer decides ever to exercise the option. You know, the new seller, you know, the person from whom you bought back the option, now assumes the obligation to buy the shares at the strike price if the option is exercised. So for the put option example, you know, if the stock went down below the strike price, so let's just first talk about a put option. If you buy a put option for a $100 strike price, as the buyer, you want the stock to fall. If it falls to 80, you have the right to sell at 100. You buy at 80, you sell at 100, you gain $20 there, profit. Now, as the seller, if that happens, you're going to buy back the option and close your position instead of letting it be assigned to you. And basically what would happen is that you're going to buy that premium for less than you sold it for. So if you sell that option and it goes against you and you want to buy it back, you're going to have to buy it back for more and incur that loss. But sometimes you will want to do that instead of having to be assigned the shares and have to buy those shares at that high strike price. So this whole notion of closing your position, if you are on either end of a call or a put and you're a buyer or a seller, you can close out your position. You can close it out if it's gained, and you can just take your profits and not risk it going back the other way, or avoid any market risk, or you just want to be conservative and you want to take profits right away. And then if you're a seller and it's gone your way, or it's gone against you, you don't want to be obligated to have the option exercised, you can basically buy it back at a loss, but then, you're safe from any further risk. So I think of, when you're thinking of buying options and you're thinking of selling options, and we've gone over that here, also know that at any time you can cancel the option by just doing the opposite in the market. So you would just be buying another option of the same type, or you would be selling another option with the same strike price and the same expiration date. And basically that just cancels your option out, and a new buyer or seller would connect to the original buyer or seller. So you can cancel these options out as a way to reduce a risk or take profit. So that's another thing to kind of keep in mind. And again, we mentioned that a few times, most traders don't exercise options. So if you buy an option and it increases in value, you can sell it. You can trade the option. You don't worry about exercising and buying or selling the stock. If you buy an option and it decreases in value, again, you can sell it before it expires worthless, and you just gain a little bit back, but you wouldn't gain the whole premium back, but you gain a little bit back. You can certainly try and do that. If you sell an option and the trade goes your way, you can simply keep the premium. If you sell an option and it decreases in value, you can buy it back and close out your position as well. So you can kind of get out of these options and either take your profits or reduce any losses that you might be incurring. So if you can sort of walk through all those scenarios of trading options, then I think it's going to start to click and you're going to get a better understanding of how these work. So I thought here, just recap this. I know we've been talking a lot here, but the more you hear it, the better. Personally, I'm going to go back and review some more intros about this just to let it all sink in, but we'll go over quickly, kind of talk one more time about how to profit or lose from both types of these options. So let's just do one little recap summary before we wrap up this podcast. So again, for call options, let's just quickly review how to profit or how you would lose from call options. So if you buy a call option and the stock goes up, you can sell that option right away for a gain, and you profit when the stock goes up. So remember, if you buy a call option with a strike price of 100, you have the right to buy at 100. If the stock goes up to 120, you can buy at 100 and sell at 120. You gain $20 of profit there. So if you hold that option contract, obviously its value has gone up. If you paid $2 for it, now it might be worth $10, and you can sell that. And again, I'm just using random numbers there, but that's the idea. Is as with call options, when you buy a call option, you want the stock to go up. And if it does, you can sell your option for a gain. You don't need to exercise it. If the stock remains the same or goes down, the option will expire worthless. And then the most you lose is the premium that you paid. So when you're buying an option, a call option, the most you're going to lose is just that premium. And again, you could sell the option before it expires worthless, and you're just going to incur a little bit less of a loss. Now, if you sell a call option and the price remains the same or goes down, the option is going to expire worthless and you keep the premium. So when you're selling call options, you want the stock to stay the same or go down, and you just gain the premium. Now, you can also buy the option back whenever you want at a cheaper price and close out your position with a gain. So you don't have to wait till it expires worthless. If you want to just, get your money back, reduce any risk, and just take profits, then you can do that. You can just buy back the exact same, not the exact same option, but the same type on the market. And basically it just closes out your position. So as a call seller, you profit when the stock goes down or remains the same, and you can always buy back the option and close out your position when you're selling these options. Now, if the stock goes up and the call buyer decides to exercise the option, then you're obligated to sell the 100 shares. So if you own them, that's called covered call. You can simply just sell your shares, or you deliver your shares. If you don't own them and you've written the call, that's called a naked call. You will be forced to buy the 100 shares at the market price and then sell them at the lower strike price, and you're going to incur a loss there. Now, you can buy back the option and close it out as well. However, you're going to be buying it back for more than you sold it because it's worth more to the buyer. So you're going to incur a loss there. So that's the difference there between a covered call and a naked call. Okay. And to wrap it up, how to profit now, this talk, how to profit or lose from the other option, the put option. So when you buy a put option and the price of the stock goes down, the value of that option goes up. So you can simply sell your option as a trader. Again, you profit when the stock goes down. So think of it, you have the right to sell at the strike price. So you have the right to sell at 100, for an example. If the stock drops to 80, well, you buy at 80 and instantly sell at 100. You've gained that profit there. So if you own the option to do that and the stock goes down, your option value goes up and you can just sell the option. Now, if the stock remains the same or goes up, the put option, again, it's going to expire worthless. The most you would lose is the premium that you paid. Now, you could sell the option before expiry to gain a little bit back. However, it's going to be less than you paid as the value of that option has decreased. Now, if you're the seller of a put, so if you're writing or you're shorting a put, you're selling a put option, you're going to receive a premium right away. That's the benefit of selling options, is you gain money right away. Now, you're the seller, so you earn that premium. But if the stock remains the same or goes up, the option will expire and you're just going to profit from the premium. So again, you're selling a put option, which on the other side, the person has the right to sell shares at a price. If they go up, they would never exercise that option. It doesn't make sense. So it would expire worthless, and you, as the seller, gain that premium. As the value of the put falls, again, you could buy it back and just close out your position and just take that quick profit as well. Now, if you're selling a put and the price of the stock goes down, the value of that option that you sold that person goes up because it's in the money. So in order to close your position, you're going to need to buy that put back at a higher price and incur a loss. And basically you'd be buying it back for more than the premium you received for it. So you're going to get that loss. Now, if the stock goes down and it gets exercised and you are assigned, you let it expire without buying it back, without closing your position, you have the obligation to buy the shares at the strike price. If you have the cash on hand, we've referred to that as a cash secured put. You'd simply buy the 100 shares at that strike price. And again, we didn't talk a lot of strategy, but I mentioned that Tesla example. If I sold a put and it was exercised, and I would be okay with that, because in that scenario, I would be okay with buying Tesla stock at a lower price because I feel it's going to go up. Or, any big, strong company, eventually the stock price will rise back up. So it's not as risky. But if you don't have the cash for it, you are forced to buy back the option at a much higher price and incur quite a loss. And this is why it's safer to sell puts on strong companies, because their stock price will rise back up eventually. And it's good to have that cash secured on puts that you sell. So I think we've gone over that quite a bit there. That's basically this sort of podcast about selling a call option selling, put options. Again, in the previous one, we talked more of an introduction into some of the terms there, but I would kind of call this, you know, intro part two. And for me personally, I'm going to go through some of the materials that I've been learning from and just kind of rewatch a lot of intros about options just a few more times and really have this cement in my brain and have a full understanding. Again, when I was learning this, I was tripping up and getting confused quite a bit. I'm at a much better position now in terms of buying calls, buying puts, selling calls, and selling puts. So in the next podcast, we're going to talk about the prices of these options. So what gives them value, extrinsic value, and extrinsic value. We're going to talk about that. I think that would be the next sort of good progression. And then we're going to progress into the next steps as well. So for me, the intro for options, we talked about what they were, and then we talked about buying. It kind of seemed like the next step would be selling, and that's what we did here. So in the next podcast, we're going to talk options again. I'm going to try and figure out what is the best thing to talk about next. I think it is pricing. So I hope that you found this useful. Subscribe to the podcast. Again, I'm going to have a video of this episode where you can kind of see some of the examples that we spoke about and see me draw them out on a whiteboard. So it's going to help you understand it even better. So you can check that out on the YouTube channel. And I look forward to speaking with you in the next podcast episode. So take care, and I will talk to you soon.